Good morning. Wow, that's a little better. That's a little better. I'm really glad that we are here this morning, and I'm excited about my message. I'm hoping that I can get everything I want covered and processed in the time that we have. I'll tell you, the way I work on my message is I start about 2 weeks out, and I just keep playing with it. I just can't stop. I poke it and poke it and poke it. And God keeps stirring my heart and keeps working on me and convicting me the entire time. And before I know it, it seems to be a little too big. And then I see all the details that I want to pull out. And so I want to do that with us this morning. But before we go there, a couple of announcements for us. And several of you have been very patient, very kind, especially the families of our senior parents. We did have a class of 2020. You may not realize it, but students actually graduated from high school this year. And we're very excited for them. And in the midst of the coronavirus and everything that went on, they still received diplomas, they still worked very hard, and they still accomplished a great deal. And in the middle of all that, we faced one of the rarest things I've ever seen in my life, but a shutdown that locked everything down. When you can shut down an 18 and a 17-year-old student, you've done something. But that was amazing. I would have never have thought that. But we do have students who graduated, and I want to encourage you, this coming Wednesday, from 6 to 8, we're kind of doing a drive-through celebration parade here at the building. And our students will be set up here at the top, and you'll kind of come in and make a loop around, and they're going to have their tables out. They're going to have their best handshakes. We won't be doing handshakes, all right? So it'll be like a virtual high five, but we're going to do our social distancing at its best, but still celebrate their accomplishments. And so before I get too far down the road, I want to let you know who they are. And if their families are here, I'll just, if it's not too much, just kind of hop up and hop down before anybody can see you, because I know it's embarrassing to stand up in church. But let's start with Nathan Dockery. If he would jump up and his family, jump up. And good job, sit down. But the Dockeries had a senior this year. Nathan graduated, and he is headed off to UT come the fall. We hope, but I know even that seems like something that's there, but he did a great job. We're proud of him, and we're excited about where he's gonna go, what he's going to be doing, okay? All right, so here we go again. The Pittmans, Carter Pittmans, the ones that are here today, this morning, thank you. You guys can sit down again. Carter is also going to UT. As a matter of fact, he's gonna be roommates with Nathan, so they'll probably be kicked out second semester. I'm just calling that one out there. But Carter has done a great job, and they've both graduated. They're moving on to UT. Naya is not here this morning, but Naya, if her family was here, we would have them stand. She's also graduated. She's going to go to the Citadel. I'm sorry, I kept wanting to call it the Academy, but it's the Citadel that she's going to. And so we're proud of her. She's obviously very accomplished in that area. We'll be headed off and in the fall as well. And then we have Jackie Campbell, who also graduated, and she will also be going to UT. So we had four graduates. We're very excited for them. If you come to the parade, and I would encourage that you do that, I know normally we would do something very festive and exciting downstairs. I don't want to overlook our students that have graduated and worked so hard. So please, please come. But Naya, Carter, and Nathan will all have kind of a table set up of their accomplishments and for you to drive by and just show your appreciation and congratulate them and their families for what they've been able to accomplish. So I wanted to get that announcement out. Make sure that you do that. As far as an online presence, we will also have a slideshow for you to look at. I know normally we would do that in the basement with a meal and a celebration, but we get those pictures from the families and kind of get to see a visual representation of that child growing up and making it through academics and sports and all of the things that they've done and been a part of. And so that will be coming online at the latest by Wednesday. David said he may be able to get it up a little earlier for us, but there'll be a link to our website so that you can actually even enjoy the slideshow that we've put together for them. So please take time to fellowship and enjoy that with them in that moment. The second announcement is a bit different. And I've felt like I've wanted to acknowledge this with our church and our community for so long. I want you to know that I know that this is a difficult time. When I walk into church on Sunday mornings and I see little blue pieces of tape that have more power than my hugs, I'm almost immediately diminished. When I walk past a table in the back with masks and a little bitty cup with a, I'm going to call it a stale cracker. And as much as I love communion and as much as I love the table and the passion that I have for that, it almost feels like I leave a little bit of my heart out in the lobby. And so I understand that. And I want you to know I mourn over that for us. And I weep over that for us. And I don't know when, but I can't wait for us to experience community as God created us to experience community. And so I want you to know, and all of our leaders feel the same way. All of our ministers feel the same way. And I know you guys do as well. And it hurts my heart that we're processing this the way we are. I keep thinking God has his reasons, and I will look for those reasons, and he will probably not share those with me anytime soon. But he will enjoy me seeking his face in the meantime. And so I encourage you to do that. I want to pray over us before we get into our lesson. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for just the opportunity to come and experience the fellowship we have. As different as it looks, Father, as difficult as it feels, and as it makes us ache inside at times, Father, we thank you for that gift. Sometimes I think America is experiencing what the world has experienced for quite some time. We've had a lot of freedoms granted us, and we've explored our faith and experienced it in ways that some countries still struggle with even today, because Christianity is not viewed in the way that it is here. And so, Father, maybe we are experiencing some of what some of our brothers and sisters experience on a daily basis, but it is so challenging for us. So give us grace and peace as we do our best to persevere and to continue, Father, to be those that image Christ well. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so I've got a couple things for us. You know, I don't get to preach as often as like Jonathan does or some other full-time minister. I'm a youth minister, and you guys know that. So the first thing I do is I go out and I get some pointers on how to preach. So I went to Danny, and I said, Danny, you've been a preacher for years. By the way, this is a preacher story, okay? So it's not going to be real. But go with it anyway, all right? So I went to Danny. I said, Danny, what do you do? How do you get it? He says, Bird, it's glitter. Just throw a lot of glitter. And I almost brought a pocket of glitter, and I thought, man, whoosh. But then I knew Miss Diane would be on me the next day because glitter's on the stage. But Danny, that's a good point. He said if you throw enough glitter, it doesn't matter. They're just wowed. And so I thought that's a good one. Thank you, Danny, for that one. No, he didn't really do that. I got that advice from Jonathan, actually. No. So, you know, throw some glitter at him. And then I went to Jonathan, and Jonathan said, tell a story. Everybody loves a good story. And so I've got that running through, and I felt like that was good. And then I went to Jim Hafer. You know, he worked with me for quite a while. I'm sorry, I can't, Jim. And Jim said, make them laugh. If you can get them to laugh, you've done a good job. So we're going to talk about glitter. I got plenty of glitter. We're ready for that. I've got some stories for us. That's good. But the laughter, I mean, when was the last time you just rolled? Okay, I mean, just, so this is what I want us to do. We're going to take 3 seconds. I want you to stand up. I want you to rub your belly, and I want the best belly laugh you can give me, okay? But we're going to do it on 3, 2, 1. Some of you are not standing. I'm watching you, okay? All right? So 3, 2, 1, I want the best belly laugh you can give me. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1. Okay, I think I heard a snort back there. Probably Victoria. But let's try one more good belly laugh. Okay, ready? And oh, I love a good belly laugh. All right, have a seat. And you're probably wondering, does that have anything to do? Well, we're going to find out. So here we go. We're going to move quick. I want to tell you a couple. Let me tell you my story. It goes back. I was probably in my mid to late 20s. I had bought myself a mountain bike. And Coach Smith, who coached across the gym from me, was a mountain bike genius. And he took me out one day. He said, Bert, we're just going to go for a little ride. Okay? Don't ever buy that story, okay? If a mountain bike genius comes up and offers you a little ride, turn him down, okay? Because his little ride lasted for like 5 hours. At some point, it involved Bert going over the handlebars, okay? And I think that was just his kind of breaking me in. Hey, Bert, let's take the new guy. But I was very cautious as I rode. And so Coach Smith told me one thing. He said, Bert, don't look at where you don't want to go. Look at where you want to go. Because if I'm riding the trail and I look over the edge and it's steep, guess where I end up every time? Over the edge where it's steep. And I don't do well there, all right? So he said, just look at your trail, and you're going to do fine. But that was the lesson that he had teach me. And that's the story I want us to look at. That's the story that I want us to come back to. I want us to come back to that laugh a little bit, and I want us to come back to that glitter in a minute. But I want us to understand something here. Here of late, we have been attracted by glitter. We have been fascinated by glitter. We are looking at things that draw our attention. And as it sucked us in, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 3. You guys remember Genesis chapter 3. This is Adam and Eve, okay? This is specifically Adam and Eve at the tree with the fruit. And Satan comes in and he says, look at this piece of fruit. Doesn't it look beautiful? And Eve, standing in the middle of the garden, looks past the entire landscape of the beautiful creation of God and finds a piece of glitter. And she grabs that glitter because it caught her attention. Satan is great when it comes to glitter. We could move a little further down in the text. We could get to, say, maybe Numbers. Numbers chapter 13, you'll remember this story. Moses has worked very hard to get his tribe to the edge of the promised land. And we send over the 12 spies, and how many come back with a good report? 2 come back, Joseph and Caleb. And the other 10 come in and they say, yeah, oh, it's beautiful. It's the land of milk and honey. It's great, but there's giants. And the giants will destroy us. And Satan throws out some glitter and derails the journey of the family of promise. And for 40 years. But they couldn't get past the glitter. All they saw was Satan's glitter, and they could not see the promised land. And the glitter looked like bad news. Bad news. The glitter looked like fear. And it cost the nation of Israel 40 years. You go to 1 Kings chapter 18. This is the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And Elijah is victorious. Then the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water. And when all the people saw this, they fell to the ground and cried, the Lord, He is God. Isn't that awesome? And there He is. There's Elijah. He's the one that prayed for this to come down. And man, before you even get out of that section, he is running for his life because of a woman called Jezebel. And Satan throws out some glitter. He couldn't see God's judgment. He couldn't see God's righteousness. All he could see was this Jezebel. And Satan throws out some glitter. And Elijah runs off to the desert and prays for God to kill him. Take me now. Because the glitter has destroyed what I thought I knew. You get into 2 Kings. I like this guy a little bit. Maybe you guys remember Elisha. Elisha didn't fall for the glitter. His servant did, though. Elijah keeps going to the king. This is 2 Kings chapter 6. Elijah keeps going to the king of Israel and giving him a heads up. The king of Aram wants to kill him. And he says, hey, don't go there, go here. Don't go here, go there. And they keep eluding this mean, evil king. And the king gets mad and says, who's telling on me? Which one of my royal court is telling the king of Israel? And they say, we're not. It's Elisha. It's like he's in your quarters when you're talking to us. He knows everything. And so the king says, all right, send my army, my chariots, my soldiers, surround the town where he is found. And he goes out and his servant looks up the next morning and they're surrounded by the king's army. And the servant comes in and says, how will we ever make it? And Elisha walks out. He doesn't see the glitter. He sees right past the glitter, and right behind the king's army is the Lord's army surrounding him. And then he prays, Father, please allow my servant to see your army, to see the reality of the situation, to remove from his eyes the glitter of Satan and to see what really is happening. And the servant looks up and he sees the army of the Lord, the God of creation, surrounding this puny little king's army. And before they even make it down to town, they're all blind. And that's how God works. We could go on, we could take a look at Christ. Of course, he doesn't fall for the glitter, right? We go back to Matthew chapter 4 and the temptations, and Satan comes in and he's just throwing all sorts of glitter. Look at this, look at this. You could be this person, you could have this, you can test God. Christ doesn't even look, doesn't even flinch at the glitter. But it didn't keep Satan from trying, did it? Satan still took his best shot at overwhelming Christ with the glitter of what he has to offer. What about Peter? On the night of Christ's betrayal, of his crucifixion, Peter couldn't see past the cross. He couldn't see past the crucifixion. Satan threw a handful of glitter out there, and Satan grabbed him. What about the early church? They struggled with the inclusion of the Gentiles. There's another handful of glitter. Don't worry about your king. Don't worry about the resurrection. Let's worry about those Gentiles. What are we going to do with them? What about the first major split in Christianity, where the Eastern Church and the Western Church divided because they were consumed with the glitter of power? Who's going to be the Pope scenario? And so Satan's just throwing this glitter at humanity. What about World War I and World War II and all the plagues that robbed us from the reality of a living Savior, an almighty, powerful God? What about our own American context? The glitter of the Civil War, the glitter of the Great Depression. How are we going to ever overcome that? How are we going to overcome the Civil War? How are we going to overcome civil rights or social justice? What about 2020? I feel like I'm covered in glitter. You know? If it's not the virus, it's the riots. If it's not the riots, it's racial inequality sweeping through our nation and violence. I cannot even turn on a radio, a TV, social media without feeling like I'm being drenched in the glitter of Satan. He is captivating me at every turn. I go to the news post and I'm like scrolling, looking for glitter. It's like I'm wanting it. I am so fascinated by what Satan is offering our culture and our world. So where is God? Where is his glitter? Surely he can outshine Satan. Where do we go to find the glitter of God? We have been so focused on the glitter of Satan, we've thought we've lost the God of creation. And we don't know how to get back. We're looking so hard for a piece of fruit that we forget about the garden. The giants we see keep us from seeing the promised land. The enemies keep us from seeing the Lord's army. And it seems as though we're left without a witness. Where is our Father in all of this? This is where I'm going to stop. Because I don't have vision like Elisha. I don't have the steadfast determination, commitment that Christ had. I don't have that. I need to change some habits in my life. I need to change the way that I look and see things. I need to stop seeing with impaired vision. Where is God's dazzling appearance for us? I got some quick answers. Look at the mountains. Look at creation. There's God, right? I mean, have we not used those, right? Need something with more meat on it. Okay? Oh, here's a cute little baby. Everybody goes, what? Say it. Aww. I mean, how could you reject a cute little baby? You know, and these are some of the things that we throw out there. But I want us to go to the capstone of God's creation. I want to go where he is flat out showing off. If you want to see God's dazzling appearance, the capstone, his glitter to the 10th degree, it's in Christ. That's the glitter. That surpasses everything. Because if we look at the creation, we end up worshiping the creation. We got to go all the way to the Creator. We got to go all the way to the Son of Man, the Son of God. Because we have to look at Christ for those answers. If I want to get past the virus, if I want to get past the shutdown, if I want to get past the loss of job and the depression, if I want to get past what's going on in America, I've got to go back to Christ. We go to John 10:10 and 11. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Man, have we not seen steal, kill, and destroy in the last 3 months? We could label a month the steal month, the kill month, and the destroy month. We've got months of that going on, going into half a year now, and we're not even sure what 2021 is going to look like, right? I don't even want to go through that door. But I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I have come that they may have life and have life to the full. If Christ comes to give life, Satan comes to destroy. He is going to undo whatever Christ can do. That's his goal. All right? That's his job description. Christ came to give us life to the full. But where? Where is this life? Where is this life to the full? Let's go back to Christ. Genesis 1 tells me I'm created in the image of God. I'm created in his image. And in his image, also in Christ's image, we are called to be like Christ. All right, Philippians 2, verse 5, your attitude should be the same as Christ. So I am in his image, and I am to behave like Christ. But Christ came to give life. So guess what? I am here to give life. Now, what does that look like? How does my attitude being in the nature of Christ, making myself nothing, being made in the human, being found in appearance, become obedient, even death on the cross? What does that look like? Maybe we're looking too hard. If I am going to be God's glitter, if it is going to come through me, because Christ is in me, then Matthew 25 may be as far as I need to look. Maybe the glitter of Christ is me feeding the hungry. Maybe the glitter of Christ is me helping the stranger. Maybe the glitter of Christ is me clothing those that can't afford. Maybe the glitter of Christ is actually, and I hate to say it, me acting like Christ. If I want to overcome the virus, then I've got to be the glitter of God. And the glitter of God looks a lot different than the glitter of Christ. Or, sorry, the glitter of God looks a lot different than the glitter of Satan. He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for me, you did for the least of these. That's the glitter of Christ. You are a life-giving moment, or you're a life-draining moment. If you are life-draining, stop it. Just stop. Because you're making my job and your job immensely more hard. So be the life-giving moment. Watch what you say, watch what you do, whether it's in person or from the pulpit. Be the life-giving moment. I'm painfully aware of the life-draining moments that I bring to the table. And I do. Man, I can suck the joy right out of the 4th of July. Ask my kids. Okay? But man, I can be life-draining. But I'm called to be life-giving. I'm called to be life-giving to my family, to the staff at the office, to the person taking my order at the restaurant. I'm called to be that life-giving moment. I need to look like Christ. The world needs to be dazzled by the church and not by Satan. John 17:20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I am to be that life-giving moment. I am to be the glitter that overcomes Satan's glitter. We get to show out and show off as the church, as the bride of Christ, as the kingdom for all the world to see. Because we're not the only ones struggling with this virus right now. It's worldwide. And it may be that my little step of loving and showing kindness and taking care of those in need is the way we do it. Our job description is to let the world know we are God's glitter when we look and act like the image of God He created us to be. That is job description 101 if you're going to be in Christ. Image Him and image Him well. All right, so I got to go back to three things. Remember, when I'm riding that mountain bike in the mountains, stop looking at the glitter over here and look at the goal. Satan is doing his best to get me to look here instead of there. Satan will fascinate me with news stories. He will fascinate me with bad news. He will fascinate me with death. I mean, do we not stop and slow down at accidents on the road? We can't not. And we've got to stop staring at the glitter of Satan and start looking at the glitter of the Father, because it looks like a garden. It looks like the army of heaven. It looks like eternity and not death. So I've got to do that. I've got to do that. Second thing I need to do, I've got to start calling glitter what it is. That's glitter. Don't look, Bert. That's glitter. Stop staring and being fascinated. That is Satan's glitter. Leave it alone. That narrative leads to death, and that story is false, and he is a liar, and he will continue. He tried it with Christ. He's going to try it with you. The difference is I'm not Christ and I get pulled in again and again and I have to come back to center and find Christ again and again and again. And remember what my job description is. All right. Third one. All right. My boys could help me with this. They could preach this for me. Remember we started off with laughter? You remember that? Some of you have already fallen asleep again, okay? Don't make us do that again. All right, so let me tell you. When my boys were young, and every now and then we hear about this, they'll come back from school and they'll voice a complaint about somebody who's kind of being ugly, okay? And the big word now is bully. How many of you have heard that cry for, oh, they're being a bully? You've heard that? Okay? Yeah, that's a new one because back in my day, it just happened, you know. Everybody got bullied and we didn't really have a name for it. They were just mean. But now it's a bully, okay? And bullies are outlawed at every school everywhere, okay? It doesn't mean that we don't still have bullies. So I taught them a response. Corbin, you remember my response? Yeah, you dog. Okay. Ben, do you remember my response? Yeah, all right. So here, let me tell you their response, okay? So when they get bullied, I say, okay, you don't bully back, okay? But you call it what it is, it's bullying, okay? And I teach them to sit back and go, ha, 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 puny little bully. So when Satan comes, it's ha, 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 puny little bully. You were beaten at the cross. You got nothing on me. I am a beloved child of God. And when Satan comes, and he will come, that's his job. Don't be surprised and don't be overwhelmed, but sit back and recognize his glitter. He is a puny little bully. And he has done that to the church, and he's done it in our families, he's done it to our teens, and it's time to put him in his place. Ha, ha, ha. Puny little bully. He has lost. He will never regain his crown over this earth. Christ sits at the throne. And we need to recognize that and live like that even in the hardest of days. And that's what he calls us to be. There's a song out. Jason Gray writes it. God put a million, million doors in the world for his love to walk through. One of those doors is you. You and I are God's glitter. We get to go out and love and care for and be a part of the broken community that he has called us to immerse ourselves in and love on those around us. I'm going to pray over us. And then if something I've said has stirred something in you, please come forward. We've got elders that will sit and pray with you and pray over you, okay? But I want to encourage you to do that. And then let us not buy into Satan's glitter. Let us move beyond that. We've got to change our eyes a little bit. Stop what we see. Stop what threatens us. That's not a threat. That's Satan. He's lost, okay? There's a war. The winner's already been decided. Let us pray. Father, thank you for God's glitter. Thank you for outshowing Satan with all of his harshness and ugliness and just the spiritual drama that he draws us into. Father, create in us better vision, better sight. Allow us to know who is in control. Father, forgive us for buying into his cheap form of glitter and fascination, especially of late. Stir our heart, Father, to look towards you. And not only look towards you, Father, but to embrace the strength within us that you provide to be the image of God, to be the salt to the world, Father. May we outshine Satan's bad news. Father, give us a great rest of the day. Encourage us as we spend time in fellowship. Bring us back together even more so, Father, not just next week, but as we learn to re-engage each other. As we learn how to come back in and do community exceedingly well. Let us love on one another with all that we have. In Christ's name, amen. Yes, stand as we sing. Oh, yes, okay. Yeah, we do have some elders in the library for those of you that if you didn't want to come forward, I know they would love to pray with you. In that setting as well. So I would encourage you if that's more fitting for you. Thank you.